there's just a lot more emotions going into it because of everything I've been through. And but to have a standing ovation, it was so sweet. I mean, I've trained so hard and everybody came out to watch and celebrate, and it was just really exciting.
That's Simone Biles, the greatest gymnast on the planet, sharing her emotions at the U.S. Olympic gymnastics trials. The road to the Tokyo Games has been long. And now Biles leads what may be the best group of gymnasts that America has sent to an Olympics, a group vying for dynasty status. Today, Alyssa Roenick tells us what she saw in person at the trials and where Biles' legacy goes from here. I'm Sarah Spain, in for Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, June 29th. This is ESPN Daily. Alyssa Roenick, thanks for joining me after what must have been a whirlwind weekend. You just got back from the U.S. Gymnastics Olympic trials. How would you describe the mood there as the sport gears up finally at last for these Tokyo Olympics?
Oh, wow. So this is easily the toughest team in U.S. history to make. You know, the team size was shrunk from 5 to 4 for Tokyo, plus the individual spot. So when Simone Biles is already in the mix, truly that means 3 all-around spots are available. So amongst the athletes, there was a lot of nerves.
Alyssa Roenick is a senior writer for ESPN, and this summer she's covering her 8th Olympic Games.
But among the fans and the media, you know, there was certainly a moment on Friday night when I looked around and realized, oh my gosh, I'm at a live, energetic, loud indoor sporting event for the first time for me in 15 months. And, you know, Sunday night's event was the largest crowd in U.S. Olympic gymnastics trials history. The energy inside the dome in America Center in St. Louis was incredible.
So the women's team is set, and we're going to talk about all of them as a whole. But part of the reason for that gigantic crowd is because we all saw what Simone Biles did in the last Olympics, and now we've had to wait an extra year to get to see the GOAT in the Olympics again. And in the lead up to these trials, she was making headlines, landing skills no one had done before, not to mention even tried in practice, looking as dominant as she ever has. So how did this 2-day event go for Biles?
Well, day one on Friday was one of those sports performances that I think any of us who are in the arena will look back and say, I was there that day. It was, you know, she has, you know, a floor routine that, you know, if listeners know anything about American gymnastics, I don't need to explain her floor routine. I mean, it's magnificent, and it was probably her best ever. You know, she's famous for not just going enormous on these incredible skills. Two of her passes are named for her, but she usually has a really hard time controlling her energy and she flies out of bounds. And somehow that night she was able to get that height, get that power, and she controlled every landing. I mean, it was perfect. I think it was her highest score on floor. And that was true, just boom. Element after element, apparatus after apparatus. Her beam routine was incredible. I mean, it was a magnificent night. And then Sunday, you know, there were a lot more nerves. She said she got into her own head. She's had a lot of emotion. She sort of started to realize that this very long road, these past 5 years, which has been very tough, was coming to an end. And she didn't have her best night. Took a couple steps on vault. She broke form on bars. She fell off the beam. She bounced out on floor a couple of times, but she still won the overall meet over 2 days by like 2 points over Sunisa Lee, who remarkably did have a higher all-around score on Sunday. That was the first time anyone has bested Simone, even in 1 day, since 2013, which is wild to think about how far ahead she is of the rest of the sport.
Yeah, it's incredible dominance, and yet we could hear Simone being frustrated with herself. What did she say afterwards about the totality of the 2-day event?
Oh, she was so incredibly frustrated on Sunday. You know, the cameras picked up her in tears after beam. And she said, you know, those were tears of frustration. Those were tears of her wanting to give that crowd, that Sunday night crowd, the same performance she'd given to the Friday night crowd.
And I wanted to give them my best performance. It's what they deserve after COVID and the year that we've had. They came out, they paid for trials tickets. I wish I could have given them a better performance like I did on night one. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. just disappointing when I can't show the crowd exactly what I've been training to do.
But she's also said she's good at putting the past in the past and moving ahead and using that as fuel.
I'm going to let it go. Still made the Olympic team, still something to be proud of. Still made Olympic trials for the second time. Like, I'm here. I made it. It's so surreal and crazy.
For all the different Olympic sports, there have been different levels of concern or excitement about the extra year. And there was a real grind here for these gymnasts, particularly Biles. So let's talk about that. How might that year-long delay for these particular games have factored into the emotions and the way she handled the trials?
You know, she's made no secret of the fact that the hardest part of the past year was not the physical side of things. You know, she has incredible coaches in Cecile and Laurent Landy, and she says, I knew they would get me prepared. She almost put the performance side on them, the skill side on them. That's their job. But getting up every morning and getting to the gym when she's a year older, her body's starting to hurt, and she knew she was representing an organization that she, quite frankly, does not want to represent. You know, Simone is the only of the survivors who is still actively competing. She is the most visible athlete in the sport. And of course, her fame translates to success for USA Gymnastics. And so that part of it, in order for her to find the motivation to get her butt out of bed and get to the gym and push herself to do the kind of skills she's doing, she had to make a decision that this truly is just about herself and seeing how far she is physically and mentally capable of pushing herself in the sport. And when they moved the finish line and she had to stop and sit with her thoughts, that was what made it hardest to restart and get back into the gym.
Alyssa, you mentioned her being the remaining survivor, that of course of the abuse of Team Dr. Larry Nassar. And we'll get to that in a moment and the role that she's played in trying to rehab all of USA Gymnastics. It's interesting, you know, I wrote a cover story for ESPN The Mag back in 2016, and it was the stars of 2016 from, you know, David Ross to J.R. Smith to Simone. And just to see her grow up from afar from that to who she is now, she's 24 now and she's becoming her own human being outside of who she's been on the gymnastics, you know, mat or apparatus. We've also seen her take on a new role, sort of a motherly figure to the rest of the team. And let's talk about those other gymnasts who are going to join her in Tokyo, what we saw from them. Tell us about the other gymnasts who are going to represent the U.S. with Biles.
Well, so certainly in that motherly role, you have to, the first person who comes to mind you want to talk about is Jordan Chiles. You know, Jordan was an elite. She was a young phenom up in Washington State. And she had gotten to the point where she says she felt the sport didn't want her. She was ready to quit. She struggled at her own gym. She had some issues with her coaches and wasn't really sure what to do. And in 2019, Simone said to her, hey, why don't you come to our gym? You know, come to Houston, see if you like Cecile Laurent as coaches. My parents own the gym, Black owners of the gym. We have six other Black elite gymnasts. And she said that was really powerful for her. To see the transformation that she has made, not just in her gymnastics, but in her showmanship and just the joy you see when she is performing. She's hit every routine in all three meets. I mean, this is a gym that's been around for one Olympic cycle and they are changing the game. And because Jordan and Simone both made the Olympic team, both of their coaches, Cecile Laurent, who are a married couple, will both be able to go as part of the coaching staff, which is pretty remarkable and they were pretty excited about. Sunisa Lee finished second to Simone at pretty much every meet this year, but then bested her on Sunday night. You know, she had a really rough year as well and said that starting at Worlds in 2019, Simone really became a confidant for her. She had reached out to Suni, and when Suni was going through lockdown, she went through an injury this year. She lost an aunt and an uncle to COVID. She had a COVID scare of her own. Her father was paralyzed in 2019 in an accident. So she's had a really rough year, and she said Simone has been there for her. And so, you know, I don't know that Simone gets enough credit for not only being the greatest gymnast in the world, but for being the greatest teammate.
Grace McCallum rounds out the four-woman team. She came in fourth during the trials, and that was a pretty big unknown, that final spot for the team event. She received the spot because her top scores will give the team the best chance at the gold. And then Michaela Skinner will go as a specialist with a threat to medal on vault. And round us out on the rest of the team that's going.
So the teams were shrunk from 5 to 4 this year. The U.S. also qualified that individual spot, as you mentioned, Michaela Skinner. And Jade Carey also qualified an individual spot on her own to the World Cup Series. So that is something that is new this year for Tokyo. And so in addition to those six athletes, for the first time, the U.S. is also bringing a pretty large alternate team as well. So they have four athletes who will travel to Japan, and they will train apart from the main team. There's a good chance that Jade and Michaela will also train in some respects apart from the main team as well. And the reason for that is that if any one athlete tests positive for COVID or falls into the contact tracing protocols, they will need to replace the entire team, which is a scary thought. And so because of that, they're bringing a full four-woman replacement team, essentially.
Simone is a four-time Olympic gold medalist. She has 25 world championship medals, the most decorated gymnast in history, and she's leading an American team that's going for their third straight gold. So just how significant an achievement would this be if they were able to pull it off?
It'd be pretty big. You know, no woman in the sport in 60 years, and really in modern gymnastics, has repeated as Olympic champion. And, you know, the belief was always that gymnasts sort of peaked in a year, maybe a two-year span, right? And so if you didn't peak at the right time, if you peaked the year before the Olympics or the year after the Olympics, oh, that's such a bummer. You know, the thinking before Simone was you couldn't be the all-around world gymnastics, whatever champion, 2 years in a row. And she's now, you know, going into her ninth year undefeated in the all-around. And so, you know, I don't think there's possibility question left that she's the greatest gymnast of all time. Shannon Miller is the most decorated Olympic American gymnast of all time. Once we get out of Tokyo, you know, all of those questions will be laid to rest. But, you know, and then also to have the U.S. repeat having won gold in London and Rio, and then to do it again, take gold, is pretty remarkable.
Okay, coming up, we're going to talk about Biles' age, ripe old age of 24, and also how she's pushing the sport even further as she wins everything there is to win.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So Alyssa, Biles herself is a 7-time national champ, and she's now the first to win the Olympic trials back to back. And she's in the midst of doing things that have never been done before in her sport, including the Yurchenko double pike. She did this at the U.S. Classic in May. What is that move?
Essentially, a Yurchenko vault is a vault where you enter. So you enter the vault and you do a round off-back handspring onto the vaulting table. And then it's two flips in a piked position, which means your legs are straight and she's holding behind, sort of behind her calves, behind her knees. And essentially, because of the way that the vault is done, it's essentially three rotations. And so it's a vault that no woman has performed in competition. Only a handful of men have performed it. And she started leaking out some video last year of her performing it into a foam pit and on mats. And the issue with it is the height that you need to get off the table is so incredible to get those rotations around that there's a lot of danger in landing on your face, landing and crunching your ankles, landing and crunching your knees. And even watching the men who've competed it at a high level, you know, a lot of time they're landing short, they're not getting the full rotation. And so you see these videos of her and she's only in the foam pit, but man, is she boosting off that table. And it looked really possible. And so there was a lot of excitement leading up to the start of this season to see if she was in fact going to compete it in 2021. And she did. You know, I have to say it's the one Biles I haven't seen in person. And so I'm very jealous of those who were at Classics. You know, look, it was magnificent. It was, I mean, the wildest thing about it was after having watched videos of, you know, studying sort of the men doing it, she is higher. And the men's vaulting table is set 4 inches lower than the women's. And she is getting higher than most of them. And she's getting around so quickly and so well that she's over-rotated. She actually took a hop backwards the first time she landed it. She's remarkable. And so it was, you know, it was fantastic. And it was, you know, her execution scores were lovely. And then, you know, what happens is you debut a skill and then the International Gymnastics Federation gives it a difficulty score, enters it into the code of points. And then if she competes it in international competition and she is the first to do so, it will bear her name. So if this happens in Tokyo, she lands the skill, it will be the fifth skill to bear her name, 2 vaults, 2 floor skills, and a beam dismount. But there has been controversy most recently in 2019 with her Biles beam dismount being devalued. So FIG, FIG, is the International Gymnastics Federation. She knew going in, and her coaches knew, that there was a good chance that FIG was going to give this skill a lower value than it really deserved. And, you know, there's lots of reason for that. I think they truly feel she is too far ahead of the rest of the field, which is exactly what the open-ended scoring system opened the sport up to. And so they want to rein that in, which is absurd. And they feel it is too dangerous. And by giving it a very high score, it was valued at 6.6, by giving it a 6.8, a 7, it will encourage athletes to just huck themselves and throw the skill before they are ready, which I personally don't believe is their job. Their job is to value it at what it is worth. And then it is coaches' jobs, parents' jobs, the athlete themselves' jobs to make sure that they are ready to compete something like this in a safe manner.
Alyssa, why wouldn't they make it clear that execution scores would drop way down for those who attempted this and didn't do it well, instead of making the starting difficulty points the one that's affected by this intention to stop them from trying it if it's too unsafe for them?
I think because it's about more than just execution skills. It's about a fear of athletes getting hurt and the sport taking a hit, another hit. And again, that is not Simone Biles' fault. I just don't think they know how to handle an athlete who has become this far ahead, better than everyone else in the sport.
The one who can do it well is the one who ends up being punished. Simone Biles did a presser after the completion of the trials and talked about how she won't be fighting the scoring anymore.
You have to pick and choose your battles. I don't think this is one that we're going to pick and choose, because at the end of the day, sometimes it might not be worth it. Of course, we would want it to be a higher value, but it's looking like it's not going to be. So what are we going to do? Just keep making a fuss about it? It's like, I don't want to be a brat about it. It's like, if I can still go out there and do it, I'm still going to go out there and do it regardless of the value that's given.
Alyssa, what do you make of that response from Biles?
So in 2019, when she debuted the Biles on beam, which is a double twisting, double back off beam, which is, in, you know, again, incredibly difficult and dangerous, because she's doing an extra spin, an extra flip, she's not able to grab under her knees and really pull herself around for that second flip. So she's just using core strength to get herself around. I mean, just adding that extra flip just makes the skill so much more difficult. And it was also devalued. Essentially, it was given the same value as if she had done it in a floor routine, which is absurd. And they did speak out and sort of try and fight it, and it went nowhere. And so I think, you know, she went into this skill prepared with what she was going to say to, and her coaches, to fight it. And USA Gymnastics national team coordinator Tom Forster essentially said, like, we're going to leave this up to her and her coaches. And I think when she realized, look, the country, the national team is not going to have my back and fight for me. This is going to be our own fight, and we're not probably not going to win. How much emotional energy am I going to spend and are my coaches going to spend on this when I should be training for the Olympics? And at the end of the day, much of her motivation for doing these things is to add her name to the code of points and add these skills and to just show the world that she is capable of doing them.
It is remarkable, though, that she could compete what everybody else does, do it so well that she could easily win. And instead, at every turn, she's elected to give herself bigger and greater challenges, the likes of which we've never even imagined a woman could do. And she's doing that for herself and the record books and also for everybody watching, which is incredible. You know, the Classics in May was her first competition in 18 months. We hadn't seen her for a while. What else was she working on? And what are some of the other moves that we can expect to see in Tokyo that are going to blow our minds?
Well, I know I mentioned the beam dismount a couple of times because it is, I don't know if I had to rank my favorite biles, just that one is so incredibly difficult. And I don't know when we will see someone else attempt it. And so the double twisting, double back off of beam is called the biles. On floor, she has two. One is a double layout with a half twist at the end. And the Biles 2 is that very famous triple double, which is a triple twisting double back. And, you know I said on Friday night her routine was perfect, but I will say Sunday night, although she bounced out of bounds so far, I think everyone was worried she was going to fly off the podium. It was the highest tumbling pass I've ever seen in person by anyone. I mean, the height she got on this thing, I mean, I don't know who could possibly control the landing on that skill. So those are three biles that you will possibly see. And then, of course, the Yurchenko double, if she competes it, will then bear her name as well.
And she's doing all of this at 24 years old, which in other sports would mean she is a young phenom and instead is now on the elder side for gymnastics. This will be her second Olympics. And by this age, a lot of star gymnasts are already retired. Here she is still dominating. Can you sort of put this into context for us, how rare it is to see a gymnast be this good at this age?
Well, the good news is it's becoming less and less rare. The sport, since the code change before 2008, has really been shifting toward maturity and experience and different body types and older gymnasts. And the reason for that is because as the code opened up this open-ended scoring and started valuing difficulty, you know, there's still that 10-point execution score, but you know, back in the day, if a maximum was a 10, you know, there was only so much you could do within 10 points. Now, you know, it's about pushing yourself and doing more dangerous skills and learning more skills. And really the only way to learn the most difficult skills is to put in the time, right? And so by 16, by 18, you haven't been doing gymnastics long enough to have learned these skills. Also, your body, you know, it's a different body type. You need muscles, you need strength, you need to eat food, you need to rest in order to take the landings that you're taking to learn these kind of skills. And so this Olympics, I saw a number that now that the whole world has qualified, this is the first Olympics where the average age of all Olympic gymnasts is over 20. The entire U.S. team is all adults. We have a married, Michaela Skinner is married. We have three athletes over 20. And so I think this is a trend you're going to see. I mean, Michaela Skinner went to college, was a standout, and then now came back to compete. And so I really do think you're going to see longer and longer careers, partially because we're just not pushing gymnasts out of the sport and coaches aren't telling them you're over the hill at 16, but also because in order to be great and be able to perform the skills you need to compete with someone like Simone, you have to have been around long enough to learn them and perfect them, right?
It makes complete sense. And it's being shown in the charts, right? The average age of a women's Olympic gymnast back in the 1950s was young 20s. And then by 1980, it was down to 16, yeah. 16 or 17. And now a slow rise back up to the point that at the 2016 Olympics, it was hovering closer to the age of 20 or so. So perhaps opening up the window for a longer stretch of dominance for gymnasts, not just Simone. Speaking of Simone specifically, though, why has she been able to be this good for so many years?
If you'd asked me this question in 2016, I probably would have the same answer today. And it's she had this incredible combination of natural talent, drive and joy, and coaches and parents who placed her joy and love of the sport ahead of everything else. And so, you know, there are famous stories about Amy Borman, her longtime coach, protecting her, you know, from Marta Caroli, taking her out of the ranch, taking her out of some national team training camps. And, you know, she has said, if I had at a young age, she was, you know, she was the kind of athlete who needed to giggle, the same woman she is today. And her coaches allow that. I mean, she has said, if not for Amy, if not for that protection from the rigors of the national team, and she would most likely have gone to UCLA, where she had planned to compete for Miss Val, as the coach there at the time. And we never would have seen Simone Biles, the Olympic gymnast. But because Amy did surround her, you know, with, you know, she protected her and allowed her to be joyful. And then once she became so good that Marta couldn't, she couldn't say anything. She couldn't say no. It was something that the other coaches and gymnasts, you know, they didn't have that same leeway, I don't think, with Marta. And so I think that is what kept her in the sport in the lead up to 2016, was being allowed to be a kid and have fun and enjoy the sport. She wasn't overtraining. She wasn't hurt a lot. She wasn't in the same sort of sport in a lot of ways that a lot of the other gymnasts were. And then once 2016, she took she took time off. And when she returned with new coaches. Her parents had opened this gym. That is what World Champion Center is showing to the world, right? Is that there is a different way to create elite gymnasts, and they are, you know, at the moment the most successful gym in the country.
After the break, let's talk more about USA Gymnastics in the post-Caroli era and how Simone found her love of the sport again.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Alyssa, it was almost a year ago now that you were on this show, and you shared that it only took Simone one tweet to get the Caroli Ranch shut down. That ranch being, at the time, the USA Gymnastics National Team Training Center and the site of the abuse of so many athletes by Team Dr. Larry Nassar. Longtime national team coordinator Marta Caroli of the aforementioned Caroli Ranch retired after the Rio Olympics in 2016. So who's running the team now?
So Tom Forster is the national team coordinator. He had been working on the developmental team. And then, you know, USA Gymnastics is, at the moment, still the governing body of the sport. I'm not sure what I think about the current program, but it is very clear to see there has been change. It seems in talking to the parents that they are far more involved, far more informed. They're able to stop by, pick up their kids in the middle of competition this weekend and take them to dinner. That was something that never would have happened under the former regime. And, you know, just the joy you saw during competition, athletes hanging out with each other and dancing around. It was just a very different environment. I remember the 2016 trials. It was, you know, you couldn't help but feel Marta's presence, you know, and then of course on TV that was harped upon, right? Like, what does Marta think? What does Marta think? What does Marta think? I felt like I was at a meet where gymnasts were being judged on their gymnastics. The broadcast wasn't talking about what they looked like, who'd gained weight. I mean, I think about all of those broadcasts in the 80s and 90s, and they're horrifying. And it really just felt like the conversation was about who is doing the best gymnast, who's sticking landings. The scores reflected that. And then there's still tons of debate about the team that is going, but they just went in rank order and let the women's performances and the scores pick the team.
How is Simone getting along with USA Gymnastics at this point?
I don't know that she, you know, they function when they have to. I think one of the things that to me shows me, you know, her feelings about USAG is that, you know, she was there. We were all there, you know, and by all, I mean the media and the athletes starting on Wednesday was podium training and media day. Of course, all of us who flew in early thought we'd get some time with Simone. We did not. She didn't do media on Friday after the meet. You know, she did once she made the team and then today. But, you know, I think that is a direct reflection of how she feels about saying yes to anything they ask her to do. And, you know, and then also, you know, something that is, you know, very exciting for her. And I think for a lot of the women is that, you know, typically after an Olympics, there's this, you know, there's a tour that USA Gymnastics puts on with their sponsors, which they don't have a lot of left. And, you know, the gymnasts go on their 20, whatever, city tour and perform, and USA Gymnastics controls all that. And instead of that happening, Simone is doing her own tour. So the Gold Over America tour, it is Simone's tour. Athleta is her new sponsor, is sponsoring the tour. She picked the gymnasts. It's only women. And, you know, if that doesn't show how much power she has and her desire to make change in the sport and provide opportunities for her fellow gymnasts and stick around, I don't know what does.
Hi, Simone. I have somewhat of a philosophical, open-ended question for you. I'm wondering, what impact do you think you've made on the sports world just being who you are and going through everything you've been through?
That is an open-ended question because I feel like if I were to answer it not being Simone, I feel like I would be taking the sport to new heights. But me being myself, I feel like I only see things happening and I hear like word on Twitter and all of that, like, oh, she's taking the sport to new heights. For me, I just go out here, do what I do, and then whatever happens, happens. But I also think that when somebody's striving for perfection and doing harder skills, it pushes other athletes to know that it's possible and that they can do it too.
So you mentioned before Simone having her own gym owned by her parents. Tell me about it. What's it like and who's training there?
By all reports, it's beautiful. It's huge. It's in Houston. One of the things that's really remarkable about the gym, if you've seen any photos of the team, the seven members of the team who were at Nationals, typically in the sport, you know, the sport has been long thought of as, you know, a sport made up of thin white girls. And, you know, there's been, you know, magnificent women who moved the needle, certainly in 2012. I think right now we're seeing the effects of Gabby Douglas winning the Olympic all-around and being the first Black woman, first African-American woman to win the Olympic all-around, which even Simone has said that was the moment that she realized, oh, wow, I can go to the Olympics? I'd never even thought about that. And so I think now when you look at that team at World Championship Center, they have seven young Black girls who are all elites, all some of the best in the world, all representing this gym, and both showing the impact of the era of Gabby Douglas and certainly Simone Biles, but then also, you know, thinking about the impact that they are having on young gymnasts around the country. And also looking at the team, you know, the standing last night after they were named. I mean, World Champion Center, Jordan and Simone make up 50% of the team. And when you look at the team as a whole, you know, you have Suni Lee, who is the first Hmong American ever to make an Olympic team. You have Chinese American, you have two African American girls. I mean, I just thought like, oh wow, we finally have an Olympic team that looks like our country, right? That like truly represents the US. And Simone's parents owning that gym and it being a Black owned business, I think has been really influential in drawing some of the athletes to the gym.
Shout out to Simone, shout out to Gabby, but let's not forget Dominique Dawes, because that was my girl growing up. Dominique Dawes, the first Black person of any nationality or gender to win an Olympic gold medal in gymnastics. This certainly a growing influence in the sport. What's it going to be like to actually watch her in these games if they do indeed end up being her last?
Well, I think it'll be very emotional for all fans because, you know how you grow up watching a sitcom or a TV show and it goes off, you feel like they're your friends, right? You feel like you know them. And I think in some respects, the whole country, the whole world feels that way about Simone Biles because we've just never had a gymnast who we've grown up with in the way we have with her. She's been competing, you know, in our lives for, you know, for 8, 9, 10 years. That's unthinkable in the sport of gymnastics, right? She's a character in all of our lives. So I think that it's going to be incredibly emotional. I also think there is a very good chance she loves her coaches so much. They are French. They were both on the French Olympic team. I think there is a very good chance, because of the respect and adoration she has for them, that we see her in Paris as a specialist. I really do. I don't think we see her on the all around and we get to, you know, watch those floor and all of it. I don't know that that happens again. That's a lot of training. A lot can happen in the next 3 years, but it is only 3 years instead of four. So I'd give it a 60-40 that we see her in
You
Paris.
Love to hear it. You love to hear it. We don't need to say goodbye yet. We'll let her make up her mind herself and tell us when it's over.
The timing of it is just too much kismet, right? There are very few gymnasts and very few athletes in their sports in general who have changed their sport in the way that Simone has. In the way that, you know, there's Nadia and there's Michael and Tiger, you know, she's Simone, right? When you rise to that level of one name, she has done that. And I do believe she will be around. She will continue to be a change maker in the sport, in sports in general, you know. Biles presidency 2032. I mean, I would not put any of it past her. She's very competitive.
I'm not putting anything past her. I do want to see a full rollout of Goldie the Goat merchandise that I can wear, despite not being the goat of anything as far as I know, but maybe I will find something to assign myself the goat of.
Yeah, it's certainly coming somewhere, for sure, for sure.
Thank you, Alyssa, and enjoy the games. We look forward to your coverage.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Sarah, for having me on. I appreciate it.
I'm Sarah Spain, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.